Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Close Up Talk Radio, the unique internet broadcast series that brings you together with some of the most amazing, important, and interesting individuals from the worlds of business, industry, travel, health and wellness, art, entertainment, and more. From company owners, CEOs, and presidents, to the technical wizards behind the scenes who create the magic that make their company's products and services so special. Here's your opportunity to hear firsthand the fascinating stories of how it all happened from those who actually made it possible. Now, live, this is Close Up Talk Radio.
Yes, indeed it is, and welcome back to Close Up Talk Radio for another exciting episode. Good afternoon, everyone. This is your host, Jim Masters. It is 3 p.m. Eastern here from our Close Up Talk Radio studios, and it's a real privilege to have you tuning in from wherever you may be, here in America, Canada, or worldwide. We do have listeners that follow Close Up Talk Radio relatively closely. Every day, we've got fabulous shows and amazing guests. Don't forget to check out our Facebook fan page and follow along. We invite you to like it. You can find us on Facebook at Close Up Talk Radio. That's right. Give the page a like. We're very interactive. And if you have ideas and suggestions, feel free to check us out on Facebook at Close Up Talk Radio. We're also on Twitter, tweeting away with our guests and all of our fabulous listeners on Twitter. Now, on Twitter, you can find us at Close Up TV News. That's right, Close Up TV News on Twitter. And I'm very interactive there with our guests and listeners. So Twitter is Close Up TV News, which is our parent company, the Telly Award-winning Close Up TV News. And also, again, Facebook, Close Up Talk Radio. One of my favorite guests continues with us here in grand style, children's author Helen Olien. You know, she's an accomplished author, illustrator, and the owner of Maypole Books. She's in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and she publishes wonderful children's rhyme picture books. Since the tender age of 8 years old, Helen Olien always dreamed one day of becoming a writer, and she worked arduously towards her dream and successfully publishing a number of well-received books, which include The Doggy Farm and Tales from the Super Shows and the Aliens. And the latter work has been sold literally around the world for over 20 years and has been on bestseller lists and so much more. She is a well-respected author and respected by everybody, readers, peers, the literary community, for her creativity and dedication and her attributes, her accomplishments, her ambition, her strong family support and passion for enriching the lives of children through her work. She's an avid believer in the importance of education. She obtained herself a bachelor's degree in history from the University of Pittsburgh and also completed studies at the University of Chicago and Goucher College. She complements the remarkable profile with an equally commendable altruistic agenda through her support of various organizations, too, that benefit youth, the community, and the arts. And in her spare time, Helen Olien enjoys, you know, travel, reading, the company of friends and family, and living life. She's living life the best that she knows how. She's, also at iBooks, too. Don't forget, you can find her works at iBooks as well. The delightful children's picture books in that rhyme verse that she is so well known for. The books are poems for kids and great ways to help children learn to read and to get along with each other and also deal with life and all the changes in life, because Helen Olien supports lifelong learning and reading, advocacy for children and learning to read. Again, check out her website. You will find all of the books, all the doggy books, the iBooks too. Books are available as iBooks too. Upcoming events and so much more. Her website is www.maypolebooks.com. Let me spell that for you. MAYPOLEBOOKS.com. Maypolebooks.com. You'll find The Doggy Trip, The Doggy Farm. Again, she does the illustrations as well. The Doggy Master, the Doggy Band, the Doggy Friend, the Doggy Gift, the Doggy Show. You'll also find other books in print. The Beast, Jeremy, a young boy is frightened nightly by a threatening black beast until the light dawns, the beast disappears, and peace comes to him. Phil the Ditch Witch, that's a great one. The Cooks, that's a whimsical coloring book, too, by Helen Olien, where zany chefs cook up a fantastic feast for your imagination. There's also the Doggy Book Set, where you can get a compilation of six of the Doggy Book series from Helen Olien as well. And again, she also has the iBook opportunity as well. You can find the Doggy series, iBooks by Helen Olien, author of these wonderful books too, on iBooks as well. And again, much more. She's working on a Christmas book, yeah. Don't forget she also did The Aliens, if you didn't know that, a collection of cartoons about space aliens and unidentified flying objects. And it's funny how she lives in New Mexico, not, you know, Roswell is not far, and she has a book on unidentified flying objects. Is that not ironic? Also, Tales from the Super Shows, too. Wonderfully creative, imaginative, fantastic stories. And as I mentioned, The Cooks as well. Just go to the website. There's a lot there. She has a blog. There's an opportunity to shop on the website as well. And you'll learn more about the delightful children's books as authored by our great friend, children's author Helen Olien. Her life story we've also captured in video form when I had the opportunity and honor to fly out to her home in Albuquerque, New Mexico with the Close Up TV News and Talk Radio team, and we captured her in grand form on a video as well and told her story. I'm so honored to have her back on the show today. Helen Olien, welcome back to Close Up Talk Radio. I know you said before we went live that you've been waiting all week to speak to me. Well, I've been waiting all week, too.
Well, here you are. What you're talking about me, are you talking about me? You give me a lot to live up to, by golly. Who's this blooming person you talk about, this successful writer? I'm just someone who's at the computer all day long.
You're so humble, Helen Olien.
That's me. I'm just a worker.
Yep.
That's all I see myself as. That and someone who eats chocolate.
Let me tell you, Helen Olien, if you were a bumblebee in a nest with a swarm of bees, you would surely be the queen bee. That's for sure.
Well, I'd buzz, that's for sure.
Yes.
Yeah, well, that's what you got me doing, buzzing. Yeah.
What
can I answer? I'm working on a Christmas book that Jim Master, suggested to me. I've done seven illustrations, and I've got, seven from 16 is what, 11? No.
Wow.
I got quite a few to do.
I don't know if I can get it done
by this Christmas. I would love to get this Christmas book done by this Christmas, do my best. But
the
Christmas is a very elaborate holiday, and I've got stars and Christmas trees, and I got happy doggies floating around, hanging onto stars, you know. And you got to have a lot of people, so you got to have a lot of doggies, because Christmas is filled with holiday spirit.
Yes, it is.
And I use the word Xmas, which is an abbreviation of Christmas, and then in my rhyme verse that goes with it, I have to explain that it stands for Christmas. You can't take anything for granted when you're writing for little kids. You know, would Xmas, X-M-A-S, stand for? Oh, I don't know. So you got to tell them. So I have to tell them that it stands for the word Christmas. Then you have to rhyme it. Well, what do you rhyme with Christmas? Well, you better say something after, like that Christmas, oh boy, or Christmas, gee whiz, or Christmas, oh, look at that gift. And then you can match a rhyme with it.
and you match a rhyme with it, too. That's a great way to think about it. So you've already got 7 illustrations for this Christmas book I suggested. You've already got 7
done, and I did the 7th rhyme just this morning, but that doesn't mean it's finished. I work on these things until the day they're published. In fact, this morning I just discovered 5 legs on a doggy that I drew.
Did you really?
I was amazed, and I said to myself, this took you weeks to see it. You know, so you got to keep editing. You got to keep editing, because your feeling of love for these creatures overcomes your critical sense. And there was this 5th leg. And so I've got it marked, and I'll have to erase it, before I send it to the publisher.
Mm. Ellen, how many hours a day would you say you work on either writing the books, doing the illustrations? How many hours in the day do you spend? This is a huge part.
I really don't know, Jim. Some days...
Yeah.
Like the other day, I had to send out some emails, and at 3 o'clock in the morning, 3 a.m., I got up and went to the computer. Well, that's exceptional. But the time doesn't mean that much to me anymore. I wake up ready to go to work. I don't. I make myself lie there and rest. But, 9 to 5, of course, is the usual thing, and I try to eat at 6 o'clock. But sometimes I go back to work.
Go right back
to
work.
It's sporadic. Yeah. And now
with
this
Christmas
book, I'll be spending extra time
because
I'd love to get it finished by this year.
By this year too. You're writing and illustrating even on the weekends too, right?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I work 7 days a week.
7 days. Yeah, 7 days a week. Yeah.
Well, I feel that I have to. I feel that Saturday and Sunday is kind of a too great a grift to mankind.
I don't think we really know
what to do with it.
You've got to.
And I'm not
going
to just lie in bed. So I work a great deal of the time.
Yeah.
And it makes me feel better. It makes me justify my existence and my and someone like you who praises me to the heavens. and you have to work to earn that reputation.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. And you have. Yeah. You certainly have. Let's talk about one of the specific books we've talked a little bit about last week and prior to that, but you wanted to talk a little bit more about the whale book again, which is
a because it isn't published
concept.
Yet.
Yeah.
And I like it very much, and there are a couple of illustrations here that are my favorites, and I wanted to bring them to the radio audience again, mention them. This is a boy who loves water, and he goes to the ocean wearing his diving suit, and he meets a whale and becomes very friendly with the whale. But in the sea, it was a different tale, because a friend he made of a whale, Wally, became part of his heart and lodged therein, was never to part. His head and tail became a rail he rode without fail. And the next picture I show, one of my favorite illustrations, because there is Alvin in his gray diving suit with his face visible through the window, and he's sitting on top of the big fat whale in the ocean, surrounded by fish, the blue water around him. It was Wally he liked, who attracted fish who around him hiked. He was a smooth guy who in the water did lie, who invited Alvin to his back to try, and from there the sea to spy. So there he is on the fat back of the whale. All right, that's one of my favorite illustrations in my whole career. Okay, and then several pages further, it says, yes, he had followed Alvin home, for he had ceased to roam. His fins a near shave, from a great wave the ocean gave, and I show a picture of the big fat whale surrounded by a big blue whale with white foam almost covering him entirely, and that sends him back to where Alvin lives. Once in the house, he had no time to grouse, for there was Alvin, sound asleep. Out of him there wasn't a peep, and I show Alvin in bed sleeping, a window beside him, beside the bed, with the white moon shining through. Okay, and the next picture shows one of my favorite illustrations, which is there's the big fat whale standing on his tail at the foot of the bed. Wally had followed Alvin home. There he was in bed alone. Should he wake him? Asleep, he looked quite slim. All right, and then the next one is probably my favorite picture. There's the whale on his fat back on top of the bed, on top of Alvin. Alvin held his arm around him. So Wally and Alvin had become friends, but no story ends without a beginning and an end. Now together they spent the night and chatted till it was daylight. And this, you can tell your audience, I love, that I can address the world and have a boy and a whale conversing. And
that's right.
That's imagery. And
you know
Alvin
what I
did call, Wally, you are all the whale I'll ever befriend. And from the sea you send a watery greeting that I found leading to this meeting in my home. And the next verse, go, but let me rub a fin and let us begin to plan to meet in the sea of your origin. Let our fondness unveil an affection of some scale, like a whale of a fairy tale. Okay, so there I show big fat Wally with two big fish, one on top of him and one beneath him, one orange and one kind of a blue-green, and those are his friends when he's there in his own world. All right. I told you that I wouldn't go in too deeply, and your audience can get the book and then meet an alligator in the North Sea. Well, that's unusual. So go see what he does there. All right.
You know what I think is great, Helen, is when you do what you just did, which is read the stories or excerpts from the stories aloud for our audience so they obviously can get a good feel for what it's about, but also in the way that you do it. You when you read the stories, and everybody that's listening right now to this episode, I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. When you hear Helen actually pieces
out. Well, because I really enjoy doing it. This is my heart. This is my soul.
Right.
This is why I live. And why I've lived as long as I have, because I'm not a young woman. Oh, I must tell you, the professional women called me yesterday. They wanted me to join them. The check was going to be $900. Well, I wasn't going to pay $900.
Yeah.
So I asked a very good friend of mine whose opinion I respect, and she said, professional women will not help a writer of children's books. So I canceled the check, voided it, and I wrote a letter to the woman who spoke to me, and I told her that I received an expert opinion from a woman whose opinion I highly respected, that I would not benefit at all because, how she rattled off things that would help me. But obviously they don't. So I'm not going to be one of the professional women who's a member of the organization, and you are.
Well, I can tell you from knowing you as long as we have through Close Up Talk Radio and Close Up TV News, I know you've won several awards already. And you are an amazing professional woman, and you don't need to obviously spend any money to be told that. You are, and for everybody to hear us live right now worldwide, you are a real inspiration for so many, and you're professional, but you're also caring. and you're a very intuitive and a smart lady, and you know when things are the real deal, and that's what I think is great about you. And I think it's, you may be in beautiful and rustic Albuquerque, New Mexico, but you still got that Chicago savvy in you, don't you, Helen?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you betcha I have. Yeah. And on top of that, I don't know where this woman got my name, because I never approached them. You know, they always approach you as if you approach them. And
right.
That's always
yeah.
not true. So I knew instinctively long ago that they were not for me. And I had this friend of mine who's a very clever woman, Elaine Cimino, who has her own studio. Writes books of a sort for kids, and who teaches children every Saturday, that it wasn't for me. So
always surround yourself
so
with
there
the
you are.
That's right. Now, what is the other book that you want to talk about? We talked about the whale book, but there was another one you wanted to touch
upon. Yeah, my sleep book.
Yes,
I have all my doggies in a sleep book, so every doggie is there in bed or out of bed or standing on the bed. I have very few of them under the covers. They're always very active. Well, this is a book, you know, and you have to animate each page. So besides the bed, the bedroom, you know, bookcases and wardrobes, I had to put things on the wall. So I put imaginary things on the wall to enliven each page. Let me tell you. The first page shows some elaborate patterns in blue and green. And there's the baby doggy in bed with his paws up. So that's not a very restful position. The next one is a real doozy. It shows a doggy with his both legs raised above his head, and on the wall above him are pink horse-like creatures with big, they're pink and with big pink dots on them and with the big black eyes. And that's imaginary enough to catch the child's eyes who is turning to this page. So, Tom, up it goes. Your head rose. You blew your nose. What do you suppose a flat pillow shows? But if you would sleep, your pillow you must keep puffy and neat for either cheek. So blow once more and don't stop before the puff you restore and a sound sleep you score. And that's that page. All right, the next page shows a doggy outside the bed. He's standing on it, and his pink tongue is hanging out. His two paws are hanging down over those paws that are resting on the bed. But up on the wall behind him is a very imaginary, bloated, green creature with big black dots all over it and wings on either side of it. You know, this is it, a little imagination on the wall to liven the bedroom scene. And to liven Dave. Good night, dear Dave, with your washing done. Now's the time for a rollicking rhyme. When you're about to sleep and a dream you see, get in bed and listen to what Dad said. To your dad confide that you did decide your green mask will be above the bed for you to have above your head. So I lash it to the wall with the rhyme. And there's the doggy with his tongue hanging out as if he'd like to lick it. goes on. The next one shows a doggy outside the bed completely on his four legs with his black eyes shining and then a big smile on his face. And on the pink wall is a blue tea kettle, a big tea kettle, and below a bed with a blue cover. Woody looked forward to sleep, the pillow under his cheek, and at a dream he'll peek with as many things unique, like a tea kettle that's blue, that steams for you and gives you tea, a cup that's free. So that takes care of that page. with the doggy outside and the tea kettle on the wall. Okay,
so
the next one is where I found the doggy with five legs. So you see how Linoleum makes mistakes. But he's in a poster bed and his head pops out of the top. You know, those poster beds only have a frame around them. There's nothing in the way of a ceiling. When Sam wants to sleep and wants it on fast feet, the pillow he hits with covers that fit are rest in bed every time he lays his head and pulls up the cover spread by his mother. She turns out the light and the darkness he mustn't fight. So Sam closes his eyes, hears music that in the air lies, and nicely fortifies whatever light his eye spies. So there he is, and above his head there is the signature for the music, you know, the big S with notes, with black notes scattered across the top of the bed, and a black night table with a green shade, no, excuse me, with a yellow shade on the lamp. Okay, but five legs? Oh, my dear, you did goof. So I'll erase that one leg, and Sam will have the usual four legs. Okay.
Well, I imagine, you know, sometimes, Helen, when you've written these stories, I imagine sometimes you have a certain vision, but then there's a lot of revisions. You rewrite and revise because you're like, gee, you know, I thought the book was going to go in this direction, but I just thought of this another exciting idea or detail, and then you take the book into a different direction sometimes than you initially thought because a new thought came into play,
oh,
right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's something even that you pray over. You look above the clouds for help. And so that each picture is different enough to attract the attention of the child who is turning the pages. And that takes creativity. And that I consider as a talent outside myself. I want to be given that talent, and I want to know what my ideas should be and how I should portray them.
Do you think you could have ever been we've only got about 2 minutes left to the show, but I've been meaning to ask you, do you think through the years you could have done, and there's never it's never too late, but have been a journalist, you know, writing for newspapers, covering stories? Do you think you have that journalism
component? My dear, no, I never have.
You like
I've written stories, you know, but never
like
anything for the public. No, nothing
like,
serious like that.
Yeah,
that would take examination. But thank you for asking, and thank you for this lovely show.
Absolutely.
And I hope your audience enjoyed it. I did.
Oh, yeah, I always do, too, and they do. We've had great feedback, Helen. You're an amazing individual. And, again, I encourage everybody to check out Helen Olien's website. Again, it's an amazing website. These additional books that she's working on, add to that website, too. But, you know, the majority of the books are there. www.maypolebooks.com, maypolebooks.com. And, of course, let her know that you've heard about her with Jim Masters and all of us here on Close Up Talk Radio. She'd love to hear that as well. And, again, she's an amazing individual. And it's a real pleasure every week to speak with you, Helen. You're a true inspiration. And I applaud you so much for all that you're doing. And thanks for joining me.
Well, you always leave me blooming. Golly. To listen to you, I'd have to bloom, although I'd be a dullard. And made out of tin. And I thank you so much for this show. And I'll see you next week.
We will see you next week. Best of everything. Enjoy your week. And thanks for being on Close Up Talk Radio. Helen, you're a joy.
My pleasure, my dear. Goodbye.
Take care. Bye-bye now. Children's author, Helen C. Olien. She's amazing, isn't she? Check out her website, maypolebooks.com. I'm Jim Masters, and thank you for joining us on this episode of the award-winning Close Up Talk Radio. Bye for now.